Thank you. That's nice. That's a nice thing. So here's something that I've been thinking about. I know it's February. I do. I know it's the beginning of February. It's cold outside. But I can't stop thinking about Dairy Queen blizzards. Guys, I don't know what it is, but I just been thinking about them. And you see this picture. This picture is the right way up, right? Because Dairy Queen blizzards, they're known to be so thick that they can be served upside down, right? And what did they do? When they handed out the window, they have to show you, they have to prove to you that it's thick enough they can be served upside down. What do? They tip it upside down, don't they? I remember the first time that I got one of these things. And I had mine was mixed with M&Ms, because I loved M&Ms. And I'm like, wow, ice cream and candy put together. Why didn't anybody think of this before, right? And they mix it up, and they go to hand it to me, and what do? And I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Don't do that, right? It was just counter to the way that I thought things would go. I thought they were dumping it off. I'm like, God, they're kind of mean. Like, why would they do that? Why would they get my heart going like that? Just give me my treat, okay? I paid for it. I want it. But here's why I'm thinking about these things, not just because I like these and they're delicious and I want to have one right now. I do, but the reason why I'm thinking about this is other things that go upside down in our life. Not just things that happen upside down, but the way in which we are going to approach life in an upside down way. This I'm talking about for people that say that they follow Jesus. Then your life is upside down from the people around you. Those that are just even considering, like, I don't even know what living in Jesus or believing in Jesus or all of that is all about. I'm just going to warn you, it's going to turn things upside down. And sometimes when we read things about Jesus, it feels really awkward. It feels like if I were going to live this way, it's going to be like living in this house right here. This house was designed to be like this, right? You can live in this house where on the outside it's upside down, but on the inside, then you walk in and everything is right side up, right? But it feels awkward, doesn't it? I mean, just trying to think about what that would look like in your mind as you see it upside down here, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough to think about how life should be upside down, but that's what Jesus does. But the way that he approaches it, he doesn't want us to do something awkward like this. What he wants us to do is think about more like a child being upside down, a new perspective on life, right? As a kid, you ever just hang upside down and you just see things upside down? Like, you could do that for hours, right? I couldn't do that for a minute and then get back upright and not stumble around because I'm dizzy, right? But as a kid, it was fun just to see the world upside down, and you could even imagine yourself living in an upside down way. That's what Jesus does for us. He gives us a perspective to live life in an upside down way, and let's be honest, it's hard. In our Jesus and People message series, we've seen a lot of things that Jesus does that's just counter to the culture, counter to the way that they believed about things with his own people, or with those that were outside of his people, like the Samaritans we looked at last week. It was hard for them to wrap their minds around it. But Jesus did and said things that were very upside down to them in the way that they think, in the way that they would live. Right? Jesus, walking on water. That's counter to our own way of knowing what we walk on. We walk on land. We don't walk on water. Of course, everyone who ice fishes is in here is giggling because they're like, oh, I walk on water every winter, right? And no, water, people, like liquid water, like walking on it. It's just counter to our own physics, isn't it, of how things work. And Jesus said things that were upside down. First, you'll be last. And if you want to save your life, you have to lose it. Like, I don't even know what that means. And then his ultimate example of something that was upside down is that his crucifixion was actually a coronation to be king. His crucifixion was a coronation to be king. Let me illustrate what that looks like in his world. You have a ruling people. The Romans ruled over the Jewish people. And anybody that rebelled, Roman or Jewish or otherwise, that if you rebelled, that you would be made an example of by being put on this death device that they came up with. And you would be on display for everyone to see and be humiliated as the lowest of the low people. But that crucifixion, for those that believe in Jesus, we see like, oh, he's actually becoming a king. It's crazy to try to wrestle with in our mind. And sometimes it feels like that house upside down. But I want to bring you into a story that I'm hoping will help us to be more like the child that's hanging upside down, getting a new perspective of what an upside down life in Jesus actually looks like. The story has to do with what I'm going to call Jesus and a Roman representative. Okay, it calls him a government official, and this is chapter 4 of John. Chapter 4, you can turn there right now. We're going to be starting with verse 46. We'll get there in a second. But the reason why I call him a Roman representative is for my own purposes, okay? One, I think it sounds nice, Roman representative. It just is nice. But the representative piece is going to come up here in a little bit. And I want us to see this. And I want us to see the story as really a lot of it is upside down. Now, it's going to introduce us to the story after Jesus has met with the woman at the well. We looked at that last week. If you've not listened to that message, I strongly encourage you to do that, or just read the story, right? It's a wonderful story. Read that, and then he's going to be coming into Galilee, and he's going to pass through a place called Cana, which, if you've been reading along in John, you know that that was where Jesus turned water into wine. Upside down type of a thing, right? He performs this miracle and his disciples believe in him after they witness this thing. So what does that look like and what does a life upside down really look like? So let's take a look at Jesus' interaction with a Roman representative, and I want you to see how upside down this whole account is, all right? So let's take a look. This is John chapter 4, starting in verse 46. As he, Jesus, traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana, where he had turned water into wine. There was a government official, Roman representative, that's my translation, in nearby Capernaum, whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son who was about to die. I just want you to sit here and think about this. Do you hear anything that's upside down yet? Because if you don't, then you're missing the whole culture that Jesus is living in at this time. This is a Roman representative. Who is in control of this area? Is it the Jewish people? No, it's the Romans. And here's a Roman representative. He represents the emperor. He represents the empire. Right? He represents the ruling party. He is the master, and he's coming to one of his subjects. Right? This is a person that's under the rule of the Roman government. He's coming to him, and he begs him to come to his home, to travel with him, to heal his son. He's coming and begging. I mean, this is upside down. He could demand that he comes. He could order that he comes, but instead he begs him to come to his house in Capernaum to heal his son. Not only are we seeing a ruler coming to a subject, but we also see a father that is concerned for a son. Yeah? Okay? Still, let's hang on. What is Jesus' response to this? Okay, this is the next verse. Jesus asked, now, I don't know who he's asking here, I'll be honest with you. It's a little confusing. He's asking this guy, is he asking the people around him, right? But listen what he asks. Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? This statement is upside down. No? You don't see it? Okay, think about it. A lot of our life, a lot of their life is, I want proof. Show me proof that you are worth believing in. Show me proof that you are worth putting my faith in. Show me the proof that you're worth getting behind and trusting, right? Show me, give me some sign. And Jesus is going, why don't you believe? Why don't you trust in me? Why don't you have faith in me first? Can you not do that? Can you not believe in me unless you're healed? You're not believe in me unless I give you some kind of new life. You're not believe in me unless you see me turn water into wine. You want to have the proof. Could you believe first, even before anything else changes, before you see the proof? That is exactly what's going to happen in this story. Okay? So let's just recap for a second. Jesus is a subject to Rome. A Roman official, Roman representative comes and begs Jesus to come to him. Jesus says, will you not believe in me? You never believe in me unless you see these miraculous signs and wonders, right? You need to see the results before you'll put your faith in me, okay? Yes? Okay, what happens next with this Roman official, Roman representative? The official pleaded. He begged. Now he's pleading. Begged him to come. Now he's pleading that he would come. Lord, please come now before my little boy dies. Calls him Lord, as in sir. Wait a minute. Jesus is now above you? That's what he's saying. And he's concerned for his little boy. His boy is going to die. And what does he want to do? Still, come to my home. Please come to my home. What does Jesus say to him? Jesus told him, verse 50, go back home. Your son will live. And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. Did he see the sign and the miracle and the wonder? No. He believed before he saw it. Before he's sitting here begging Jesus, pleading with Jesus to come to his home. And now, because Jesus says, your son will live, go back home, he believes him. I'll go back home. This is upside down type of perspective here. I don't need the proof beforehand. If you say it, Jesus, I believe in you so that I'm going to listen to what you say. I'm going to do what you say. And he heads back home. That's really upside down, right? It's upside down for our lives. Believing in Jesus before we actually experience any proof. That's crazy. Before we actually have some result in our life, we trust in him. Wow. I come to Jesus because, well, he can heal my grandmother. I come to Jesus because he can fix my marriage. I come to Jesus because I think I can have a better life. I can be a better person. What if you just believed in Jesus and listened to what he said and lived that way? That's upside down. Believing in Jesus turns your life upside down. You want to see the result of the story? You want to read the rest of it? Let's read the rest of it, okay? Starting in verse 51. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. Then the father realized that was the very time Jesus had told him, your son will live. And he and his entire household believed in Jesus. This was the second miraculous sign Jesus did in Galilee after coming through Judea. The servants didn't know what was going on. All they know is that this fever suddenly left. The father, before he knew what was going to happen, before he saw the results, believed Jesus, and on his way, those things meet up. Now, was the son healed? Yeah. But there's something bigger going on here, right? It's the believing in Jesus piece that's bigger here. This father believes in Jesus. He does what Jesus said. And then as he hears what happens, who also believes in Jesus? The whole family, the whole household believes in Jesus. Now, this is radical. Here's a Roman representative that probably worships a lot of different gods and maybe even the emperor, right? Maybe even Caesar. There's kind of that kind of worship going on here. And yet now there's a new allegiance. There's a new allegiance in Jesus. And the whole family, the whole household is going to believe. And that's going to change everything in that household about the way that they go about life. They're going to listen to Jesus. They're going to believe in Jesus and then do what he says. And it's going to change everything. And in this story, what you have is you have a father and child. You have a master and you have slaves or servants. You probably have a husband and a wife. This household is made up of some things that are similar to our households, but some things that are really different than our households. And that whole household is going to be turned upside down. And to set the context here, to show you how upside down this is, in Roman society, different philosophers and writers and leaders, they would talk about the need for the Roman household to be in order. Because if the Roman household is in order and ruled well, then the whole empire would be in order and ruled well. Why? Because the whole empire is made up of Roman households, right? And in those households, you had husbands and wives, you had fathers and children, you had masters and slaves. Now, we need to understand the slave-servant thing in the context of which they have it. So if I'm very poor, I've got no way of making any means. I may sell myself to be a servant in a household, okay? And yes, you were owned, so there is that element to it, but you could work yourself free as well, okay? So we have to think of them in that context. It's different than our households, but when they were addressing the Roman household, these Roman writers and philosophers, if they were going to make sure that the Roman household was in order, they would talk to the husband. They would address the father. They would give instruction to the master. Why? Because they were the ones ruling over or in charge of everyone else in the household. Okay? They would not address the wife. They would not address the children. They certainly would not address the slaves and servants. And yet, people that believe in Jesus, they saw that there is a new way to live in these households, a way that was upside down. People that believed in Jesus and their whole household would believe in Jesus, they lived in a completely upside down way from that Roman context. And it actually brought out the best in the households. There's a man in the Bible named Paul, and he lived a life very different than you would see in the later life that he lived. He lived in a life that was trying to stop this Jesus movement, until he met Jesus face to face, the resurrected Jesus face to face, spent time with him, and then his whole life was lived upside down. He spent a lot of time in prison rather than in the public schools and thoughts and as a Pharisee, right? He spent a lot of time in prison because he was starting churches for Jesus now. And he had some writings about what it looked like to believe in Jesus in these households. I want us to get this set in our head, because as I read this next thing about from Colossians chapter 3, you can turn there, you can follow on the screen. What I want you to see is how he addresses things. Not only is he addressing the wives and the children and the slaves in this, but he addresses them first and then the man, right? He addresses the wives first and then the husband. He addresses the children first and then the father. He addresses the slaves first and then the master, because he's elevating their role and their function in this new believing community, this new believing household. It turned it all upside down. Okay? So I'm going to read through it and I want you to pick up on that. So Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. I start here because this is the framework in which the households believed, okay? This is what they believed, and then comes the instruction. So here it is, verse 16. Let the message about Jesus, about Christ, in all its richness, fill your lives. Teach and counsel who? Each other. Wives and husbands, children and fathers, slaves and masters, you are all on equal terms here to teach and counsel each other with the wisdom Jesus gives. Sing psalms and other hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a, there's my word. Did you forget about that? Roman representative? No, now you're a Jesus representative. Yeah? A Jesus representative. Giving thanks through Jesus to God the Father. Now here comes instructions. Pick up on how upside down this is. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. Now, we're going to talk about slaves here. Notice that that was like one or two lines for each of those instructions. Look at how much time Paul's going to spend on slaves. Now, here's the important thing of why he's spending so much time on slaves. As he starts, he's talking about their earthly masters, and by the time he gets done with this paragraph, he's talking about your heavenly master, Jesus. That means that if you believe in Jesus, you live in an upside-down way. It's not what Jesus can do for you, right? But it's how you serve and listen and take and obey him. That's what it's about. You believe him, so you will do what he says. You are his servant. And this isn't unique to Paul here. James, Jesus' half-brother, starts out his letter of James the same way. I am a slave of Jesus. Right? It's not just unique to Paul. But look at how much time he spends here. Here we go. Verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is who? Jesus. Yeah. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites. Equal terms. Now, we had all that time on slaves. Here's the line about masters in verse 1, chapter 4. Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master where? Yeah, right? Do you see the upside down way that these households, if they believe in Jesus, they would live in a completely upside down way. That upside down way was like, no, there's no hierarchy here. We are all on level ground here because ultimately we all have one master. Oh, that's Jesus, the one we believe in, and then we will listen to. We will do what he says. It's completely upside down. Now, our households may look similar to these households here. They may look really different, right? It's not an exhaustive list, but when we think about believing in Jesus, you need to know what you're getting yourself into. For those of you that have been faithfully following Jesus, say you believe in Jesus much of your life, or maybe it's something more new to you, just know that you are saying that he's your master and you are his servant. You're believing in Jesus that way. That may be completely upside down from the way that you had pictured what this life in Jesus is all about. And for those of you that are kind of on the fence or you're like, I'm not even sure, I don't even know why I'm in this church today. If you are thinking or considering about believing in Jesus, just know what that means. That believing in Jesus is going to turn your life all upside down. You're not the one in control. of your life. Jesus is the one that's in control of your life. It's kind of hard to hear, isn't it? It's kind of hard to hear. We just want to be like, Jesus loves me, right? Jesus is kind to me. Jesus will heal me. Jesus will give me this abundant life. All of it is true. All of it is true. Believe in Jesus before you see the results of believing in Jesus. It's a completely upside down way of going about it. What does it look like in your households? Can I give you a few examples of a way that I'm looking at this? Now, it's not an exhaustive list, right? I get that we have other people in this, different households. Maybe there isn't a husband and wife relationship. Maybe you don't have these kids you have to worry about. You certainly shouldn't be having any slaves in your household, okay? But let's just take a look at what this can look like for us. So wives, right? If you're a wife, wives, collaborate with your husbands. Stop trying to control them or change them. Collaborate with them. Why? Why would you do that? Because you believe in Jesus. Husbands, put away your agenda, right? Put away your way of thinking about running the house. It's not that your wife needs a lot of money or nice things. You just go to work and you spend a lot of hours there so you can provide for them. No, they need you. So put away your agenda. Why? Because you believe in Jesus. Children, listen up. Kids, parents, you're going to write this down because you're going to remind them of this. Children, trust that your parents know more than you do. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? Trust that your parents know more than you do, and they're not trying to ruin your life. Okay? Trust that. Why do you want to trust that? Because you believe in Jesus. And dads, I'm going to speak specifically to dads. Grow up and be a dad. Pointing my finger at me, right? Stop being adultish and start being an adult. Honestly, in every way, right? You're to be a dad. Be a dad, right? Why? Because you believe in Jesus. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like in this upside down way. I'm going to believe in Jesus first. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to allow that to affect every area of my life. Believing in Jesus turns your life upside down, and it's hard to live in it. But you're going to do everything because you believe in Jesus. He is your master. You are his servant, not the other way around. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, and I mean that with every sense of the word, Lord Jesus, we come to you as your servants. We ask that you would instruct us and you would guide us because we believe in you. We trust you and we have faith in you that you will lead us down the road of a life of abundance in you. Jesus, in your holy name, we pray. Amen.